Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Left Coast Gamblers. Tony Cavallo, Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crookson, and we are on episode 3 of the Left Coast Quarterback Rankings. So excited. My favorite time of the year to talk about these quarterbacks and put them. We all rank them individually, 1 through 57. Yes, that's right. 57 quarterbacks started a game in 2019. And then we put those lists together to come down with the final list, the master list. You look at this list like it's the Bible. It will tell you who the best quarterbacks in the league are and why you should be happy or angry if you're an NFL franchise, a fan of an NFL team. Mitch Trubisky has already been named. All your Chicago quarterbacks have already been named. If you're a Chicago fan, you're done. Go listen to the past podcast and hope for a bright future. We might be talking about a guy soon, though, that might be coming into your neck of the woods to give Mitch Trubisky a challenge, because we're now going through quarterbacks 32 to 17, the bottom tier starters of the NFL. If you have a guy here, you might feel good about his placement, you might feel bad about his placement, but let me tell you guys a little spoiler warning. You're going to be hearing a lot of my voice, because I am so different on a lot of these guys than the other two hosts with me, that I'm going to be doing a lot of defending here, a lot of explaining of my positioning on these guys. 32 through 17, the bottom tier rankings. We have Super Bowl winners. We have rookies. We have guys who are entrenched. We have guys who started all 16 games this season. We have guys, and one guy in particular, where we all ranked at the exact same spot. I love when that happens, where we have all these quarterbacks, and yet all three of us say, nah, this guy's definitely 25th.
It's one of my favorite things about the list, 25th. Is how far we can differ on some guys and how we can think that the other guys are in the exact same spot, and there's no question about it.
Last week, we had the elite backup division, 40 through 33. To recap those, number 40 was RG3, 39, Marcus Mariota, Case Keenum at 38, 37, Matt Moore, 36 was the retired Eli Manning, 35th, the rookie Dwayne Haskins, 34th, that awful Mitch Trubisky, and 33rd, just missing the cut of starter, Drew Locke.
Ah.
You guys ready to get into it?
Let's do it. I'm so excited. We're finally talking about starters.
Mr. 32 came in as at a tie with the 31st overall, but he's here because we all ranked him right around here, and I think it's perfect. The worst starter in the league, Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
The Red Rifle.
Right now.
I mean, come on. Right?
He had a good start to the season, but things fell fast.
If I had to paint a guy who's the base level of starter, I think Andy Dalton's perfect for it.
He threw for about 3,500 yards, 16 touchdowns, 14 picks for Andy Dalton this past season.
He's been on this list all four seasons. Started off as the 17th overall the first time we ranked him, fell to 26th and 28th, now 32nd overall. Drew, what do you have to say?
I have him higher, guys. Not much.
Yeah, we all have him around here. 29th you have him at.
But now that we're talking about him, I think he might even be higher than that.
Than that.
Here's the reason
why. What's making you change your mind?
He went to a lot of playoff games. Now, he didn't win any of them.
Yes.
But he did consistently win 10-win seasons, home playoff games, did not win any of them. Now, what was the difference? Well, obviously, he had a team around him that could do stuff. He had some weapons. He had, you know,
A.J. Green.
Yeah,
he's got a terrible
offensive
line, to be fair.
Oh, the Bengals, as Tony unbelievably predicted, great. Worst team in all football. They were awful this year. So, obviously, they're kind of
tanking. Definitely tanking.
They were tanking this year. He's proven himself as a winning commodity. Now, obviously, he's not like, you know, he's not a top 10 quarterback by any stretch of the imagination.
No,
but
never will be.
I still think he's got stuff in the tank to go and compete for a starter job. I remember on our pod when we were talking about him, like, oh, he's kind of clipboard, you know, kind of lifetime backup. I think he might have something left in the tank, given the right opportunity.
Interesting. I'm not sure myself. 32nd overall, Dangles, I think you agree with where he placed.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, I would be okay with him being a backup in New England.
He'd be fine with that. He tied with a guy who might be the starter next year in Carolina. Kyle Allen came in at 31st overall. Again, we were not too much different on him. Drew had him just out of starting position.
Yep.
I think if we made these rankings halfway through the season, Kyle Allen's a top 20 quarterback.
He would have been higher. Yeah, I had him at 28. It's a little bit higher than where we ranked him. I had him on one of our in your fantasy league, Tony. I ended up having to shift to him because it was bad. Well, I had drafted Phil Rivers, and that wasn't going well from a fantasy perspective for me. So I had to change course. And Kyle Allen was, he was fine.
Bad the second half of the season.
But he showed. Man. But again, thrown into the fire, showed a lot of promise. Showed he can make the throws. Showed he can lead a team to victory. Having Christian McCaffrey helps, but
it's funny when you look back on the season like, yeah, he was so bad they benched him, and then Will Greer come in and they went, hey Kyle, come on back.
Yeah, you know what? We're sorry.
Kyle, come on back out here.
Hand up, we were wrong.
Comes in at 31st overall. Notice we haven't mentioned the name Cam Newton yet. Interested to see what Carolina does with Cam, but number 30th overall. Another guy, if we made these rankings halfway through, would be a lot higher, but he took over the world when it came to the NFL social media wise. Gardner Minshew at 30th overall. Drew, you had him at 35th overall. Yeah. You don't think he deserves to be a starter in this league?
I don't. I think Gardner Minshew is a traveling backup for the rest of his life. Mm. Listen, awesome personality.
Yep.
Heard interviews with him. Seems like a cool-ass dude to hang out with, drink a beer with.
Yeah.
You know, he can sing a little bit. But too many just awful performances for me to, like, even – I mean, we backed him in London. He was horrible.
Yep. That was a bad game.
He was horrible. And like I said – I don't think I see him as a long-term starter anywhere. Similar, like, you know, like an unproven Matt Moore, maybe a spot start. I don't think he's a bad guy to have on a roster. I certainly believe he should be on a roster, but I'm not buying him as the future of the Jacksonville Jaguars one bit, nor do I think he has the longevity of a staying power of a starting quarterback.
See, I think he's got that. I feel to Gardner Minshew like you felt to Drew Locke from the last podcast.
Really?
Where it's like,
I agree.
I think he has the intangibles to win in this league.
Me too.
I don't know if he has like the arm power or the sort of the ability to have the height and be able to read the field. But I think I think people want to play for him, and he makes the team better being on that team.
21 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. That shows good decision making.
I like
to me.
Him a lot. And he has the ability also to throw up to guys that are unproven. He made DJ Chark. He made him last
Jaguars
year.
Jaguars were a bad team last year. There's no way around
terrible
that.
Terrible team.
No, and I think he did a lot with what
with the
little,
Jalen Ramsey
what I'm saying.
With what
and
little
like,
he had.
I'm saying if he had more around him, you know.
And I think he's coachable. He's incredibly coachable. Mike Leese just talked about how coachable he was as a guy who's bounced from program to program. As we know, he had a long road getting to the NFL and even to Washington State.
Yeah.
You know, had to go through JUCO and bounce through a couple of universities before he finally landed in Pullman. But, you know, this is a guy I do think that has a future in the NFL. Shit, Madden just gave him a 97 overall card in Ultimate Team. Like they think he's really good.
He's the ultimate dude that, like, if he's on my team as a backup, I'm thrilled.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm
cool.
I mean, look, if you got to lean on him to start again, over 3,000 yards, 21 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. They beat the Titans with him. They beat the Broncos with him. They beat the Colts. They beat the Raiders. Like, they beat some decent teams. I think he's got what's there.
I think those stats are a little inflated because they were just getting dump trucks.
Yeah, a lot of
garbage. Maybe they're playing from behind a lot.
Yeah,
you're right.
Around,
you are right.
Yeah.
But Minshew comes in at number 30th overall, number 29th overall, a guy that Minshew hopes to be, a guy that Drew said pretty much he's going to be. Number 29th overall is Fitzmagic, Ryan Fitzpatrick. We all had him in this rankings, and this is the highest he's ever been on these rankings. He came in the first year 37th and 32nd and 35th. Now he's officially a starter in our eyes, 29th overall for Fitzy. Good on him. Number 28th overall. Let me start to explain myself here. I don't need to explain myself. I'm right, you're wrong. Because I had number 28th overall all the way up to 22nd. Dangle didn't have him as a starter. Drew had him as the bottom starter in the league. Number 28th overall is Big Dick Nick. Why do you guys think Nick Foles doesn't deserve to be a starter in this league? And why do I think correctly that this guy's a former Super Bowl winner, a guy that's thrown 7 touchdowns in a game,
a
guy that can make every throw in the world? He won them that Super Bowl,
Dangle. He definitely won.
And I think Nick Foles has a chance to be an actual playoff quarterback, playoff caliber quarterback in this league. I think he had an awful injury last year. He came back too soon, didn't have the arm strength, was benched again. Am I wrong on this, or do you guys think you've ranked Nick a little too low?
I mean, I agree with everything you're saying, Tony. My thing with Nick Foles is there's nothing tangible. There's nothing mathematical. There's nothing even – it's my eye test. It's like he had some magic in Philly that was unexplainable.
Yeah.
I want to see him do that somewhere – not in Philly because he really hasn't done it.
Yes, correct.
And, you know, I just think he's in a situation now with the Jaguars and they're kind of blowing up and rebuilding. I don't think that's a team. I don't think he can be successful in that environment.
You don't?
I think he can go to, like, maybe a proven contender with an awesome defense and kind of be kind of a game manager, i.e. like a Kirk Cousins or Jimmy Garoppolo, something like that, and be successful. I don't think he can be the guy when a 4-1 team trying to rise to the ranks.
See, I think you could put him on Chicago right now and they'd win the division. I do. I think Nick Foles is a successful quarterback.
That's really bold, but now that you say that, that's actually kind of a good fit for him.
I don't think Nick Foles could go to, like, you know, I don't think Nick Foles could lead a team by himself.
To me, he's a poor man. He's a poor man's Kirk Cousins, as we'll talk about. I think Jimmy Garoppolo.
I think he's a rich man's Case Keenum.
Yeah, that's good.
Honestly, like, poor man's Kirk Cousins, that's what he is.
Or like a, I don't know. But yeah, I think that environment with the Jaguars, that contract's bad. Paying way too much money.
Oh, it's a tough contract. You know? Definitely a tough contract.
And I try to take that and count in the rankings, too.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's a brutal contract. He's in a brutal situation with the Jags.
Yeah.
I just don't like the situation he's in.
Yeah, I feel you. I think Nick Foles has some promise dangles. You want to say anything about Big Dick Nick, the man who stole a Super Bowl from you?
I tend to agree with Drew. I just don't think he's as good as people make him out to be. He won a Super Bowl. Good for him. But, look, he came back. He came back from his injury, and they were all excited about it. They put him in, and I'm pretty sure he didn't make it through that game before he got benched again for Minshew because Minshew was a better quarterback at the time.
But it was a collarbone injury. And Aaron Rodgers, I saw him come back from a collarbone injury, came back one game too soon against Minnesota, and he had 3 interceptions in that game that were underthrown balls because his mind said, I can make that throw, and his body's like, we can't do that yet. Nick Foles was in the same position. I think it's a big bounce back year for Nick Foles.
Only quarterback on our list that can give himself a wedgie with his own dick.
He comes
That's
in at
image
28th
I really
overall.
From Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Number 27th overall, New York Giants fans, listen up. Number 27th overall is Danny Dimes. And we all had him here. Danny Dimes, I think he was okay. I don't think he's the quarterback of the future in New York, although he deserves to be a starter in this league at 27th overall. Number 26, funny, we all had him at 25th. Unanimous winner, number 26 in the league, is Teddy Bridgewater, Teddy Ballgame.
It's
going to be interesting to see where Teddy plays next year because we all think, ranking him 25th each, he deserves to be a starter in this league, correct?
Do you think our rankings were at all tainted by the fact that I think we were all collectively impressed by how well he led the Saints in Drew Brees' absence, where it was his opportunity to blow. Like, right, that was absolutely his season to lose for them. They put everything they had on Teddy Bridgewater, and they won the majority of the games that he started.
5-1.
He cost me a lot of money. I faded him numerous weeks,
and he did. It wasn't like
a lot of people won the game. Teddy, you know what I mean?
Teddy was making throws in those games.
He was doing
everything he was asked to do.
Very impressed by him.
We had no reason to believe that he was going to come back and do that. I mean, this is a guy who almost ended up having to quit the NFL because of how gruesome
his leg almost got amputated.
Yeah, because of how gruesome an injury he suffered in training camp a few years ago. So the fact that he was able to do what he did in a cornered position, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that would be my question is sort of how much do you guys think that played into us ranking him as high as he did? He still had decent stats. You know, he still threw 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 1384 yardage. He was a 68% completion.
Yeah.
Those are decent numbers for the games that he never was prolific.
But he was serviceable.
But
I don't think you can argue he's a top 25 quarterback.
I think,
I don't think you can argue that. And I think given the situation in the right spot, he deserves a chance at minimum to be kind of the leader in the clubhouse before training camp to be the starter. I'm not sure how many jobs are out there that are going to, you know, I'm trying to think off the top of my head right now. Like, it's just different because do you bring a guy like that in and give him a big contract like Nick Foles, which is a disaster? Or do you bring him in on a 1-year deal, a prove-it deal, or bring him in like in a bear situation where he's got to compete with someone?
That's the thing. It's going to be interesting to see where he lands because if I'm trying to build a team and I have question marks at quarterbacks, I would much rather have Teddy Bridgewater for X amount of dollars than Andy Dalton for a little bit less.
I know it would never happen, but close your eyes and imagine Teddy Bridgewater on the Cleveland Browns.
I'm sitting here looking at
leadership.
I'm sitting here looking at Dangle saying, imagine Teddy Bridgewater in a Patriots uniform.
I would love that.
I'm dead serious.
He's another guy I'd love as a backup. I think that would be great. And someone not just as a backup, but as a potential to take over for Tom Brady.
I was going to say, Dangles, you might not have a quarterback in New England.
Yeah.
We still don't know where Tom Brady's
going
to land.
Brady's coming back.
We still don't know.
I agree with
Brady's Tangles. Coming. I'm not. I haven't changed my mind on this since we spoke about it last. Brady's going to be a Patriot next year. Take it to the bank.
Speaking of AFC East.
I agree with you for the record, Daniel.
Let's stick in the AFC East. We have now the first quarterback who started all 16 games last year. The first quarterback to start all 16 games next year improves one spot on his rankings from the year before. He is 25th overall. I ranked him lower, and I'm the reason he's at 25th, and that's Josh Allen. Drew had him as the 20th overall. Dangles is the 21st. I had him as barely a starter because, again,
you've
guys,
never liked him though, and I knew you
have some bias towards him, which you need to get over.
I knew he was going
to
be low.
He can't throw the ball. He cannot efficiently throw the football.
Okay, I was going to say, he can throw the ball. Whether or not he's accurate is a different question.
We were talking last podcast about Dwayne Haskins, how he misses little slant passes over the middle. He throws it too high. He throws it behind him. You expect them to fix that. Josh Allen has not fixed that. It's been 2 years now, and he started all of these games. He cannot successfully complete the football. He is an elite-level athlete, one of the best athletes on the field, and is a leader. The team loves him. But at the quarterback position, sometimes you got to make throws, and it was clear in the playoff game that he lost that he could not make the throws you need to do to win a football
game. How much did he improve from year two to year one?
Oh, it definitely improved. Definitely improved.
His upside, I think, and I misspoke last pod. I actually have him rated as my highest in that 2018 draft class over Darnold, over Mayfield.
Minus Lamar.
Where did you have him on your list, Tony?
I had him 28th overall.
How do you have the 28th, a playoff quarterback as the 28th?
He's a fucking winner, man.
You see him dive over the line against football games. He is a winner. He's a gamer and he's a winner. And I don't understand how you have a guy who made the playoffs.
Because
lower on your list than Teddy Bridgewater.
Because the team behind him that didn't make the playoffs, the seventh seed, was the Pittsburgh Steelers by Mason Rudolph. So it doesn't matter who the quarterback is if you're going to make the playoffs there. That team had an amazing defense and a great scheme running the football with Devin Singletary and Frank Gore. Josh Allen
sucks.
They
don't make the playoffs with Matt Barkley.
I think they make the playoffs with anyone else on this list.
Oh, absolutely.
Wait.
They're not
all 57?
I'm
sorry.
In those
games. anyone
Luke Falk. Listen, AFC East magic.
I think with fucking Daniel Jones, I think with Teddy Bridgewater, I think with Nick Foles, Buffalo Bills make the playoffs last year. That's a very, very well coached good team. Josh Allen stinks.
I don't know about that.
Josh Allen, he comes in at 25th. How
do you say he stinks? You can say maybe he does not stink.
He's not Luke Falk.
Listeners of the podcast, though, know that Tony has never liked Josh Allen, not since he's been drafted.
I like the Bills.
He's come around on the Bills. I think in the years on the show,
Well, yeah.
But he's never liked Josh Allen. So I do think there is a little bit of personal animosity for whatever reason towards Josh Allen. And that's fine. We've all got our quarterbacks that we don't like. I don't like Nick Foles. I think he stinks.
Yeah. Josh Allen, 25th overall, did start all six. The reason why
actually stinks. Josh Allen is good.
The reason why I had Josh Allen as high as 28th on my book is because he started all 16 games. That means something to me. Josh Allen comes in at 25th overall.
Would you at least
so
acknowledge
kind of you to
would,
hand
would,
him 28th overall
would
for
you at least,
starting.
Would you at least acknowledge his upside? Or are you saying he's not going to do it for you?
I see him as a stronger-armed Mitch Trubisky. That's exactly where I put him. And that's why I said I put him at 28th and not 34th like Mitch Trubisky. I think he's got a better arm, but still can't hit the broadside of a barn.
That's a backstabbing for a playoff quarterback, 28th, though.
No,
that's a backstabbing.
Where you put him, and your analogy is not incorrect.
Where's our next playoff quarterback?
But I just think his upside is massively, massively higher than Mitch Trubisky's opinion.
Yeah. Number 24th overall was a tie with the guy who was 23rd. Number 24th, we're not going to talk too much about him because we all ranked him around here, Jacoby Brissett. I will say this, though. If you're Indy, I hear a lot of talk about Indy saying they want to bring in a quarterback like a Phil Rivers or something like that. Are you not okay with just having Jacoby?
I don't understand what the problem is. This is a kid who's only going to get better, who has only gotten better every single year that he has been a starter, and he's been thrown into shitty situations literally from the start of his career. He had to step in and take over for Jimmy Garoppolo when he had that AC injury a couple years ago in New England. Like,
here's
this is a guy who knows how to make lemonade out of lemons.
Drew talked last week about Drew Lock coming in, not having any practice, not having any of this. Jacoby Brissett, yes, he took a lot of first-team reps in training camp, but that whole time it was like, all right, Andrew Luck's going to be the quarterback. I'm going to hold the clipboard. And then suddenly, hey, man, 16 games. You ready? It's yours.
And here's my problem. 6-2, I think, 5-3, some of the first 8 games. When opponents got tape of him, different
they
quarterback.
Figured it out. He also got injured halfway
different
through.
Different quarterback. I think the tape did a lot for him in a negative fashion there. I still think he's a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, for sure.
I just don't think – I'd be hard-pressed to think he's the future unless they build just an unstoppable force around him.
I think Indy can win with Jacoby. If I was Indy, I would not pay
They've
big money to
enough.
Bring in a Phil
You can
Rivers.
Win with him. You can't win because of him.
I'd say I'd build around him.
Why
I
does
mean,
it matter?
You can
as
be,
long as you win.
You can be no. the San Fran 49ers with Jacoby Brissett. You can do that. You can absolutely do that. Jacoby
yeah.
Brissett, to me, is not that far off from Jimmy G.
No, I agree with that.
So
I
don't know. If I was Indy, I would like Jacoby. The man who tied him, though, and is one spot higher because I had him as the 18th ranked quarterback. I think this guy is a stud. 23rd overall, though. Dangles had him as low as 29th. That's Sam Darnold. Dangles, I understand the New York Jets have won Butkus.
Because he puts his mouth on stuff, honestly. Like, that's my real reason. And they have won Butkus.
They've won shit with him. But I think Sam Darnold is the future in the Jets. I think he can make every throw in the book.
He's,
I like the way
good.
He's built. I like the way his mind is.
I have him as a starter.
Yeah, but 29th, though, man. I mean, you're that's a guy that they paid a premium draft
position in. The New York
Jets
are the third
in.
Worst team in
Correct.
The NFL. It only makes sense that their quarterback would be the third worst starter in the NFL. He's right where he ought to be.
He came in at 20th last year, though. He falls to 23rd this year. Do you think he had a worse season than his rookie campaign?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you think he regressed?
I think he didn't improve.
Yeah.
Let's say stay the same. I mean,
which is as good to me, that's as good as
the thing
regression.
About, the thing about Darnold that I don't like is he had this problem in college. We talk about accuracy.
Yeah.
He just threw a lot of picks in college
he
against
did.
Good defenses.
Yes.
I don't like Gase. I don't think anyone likes Gase. The Le'Veon Bell contract's a disaster already.
Already.
I mean, who would have thought that? Oh, they paid this holdout running back all this yeah. money, and it's a disaster? Again, it's situations. We know this. We're talking about with Burrow and the Bengals about going to the situation. Like, the NFL ruins more quarterbacks than it develops.
Yes.
And if he's put in this bad situation where it's toxic on all levels, New York media, bad coaching, not great personnel around him. I think he can, again, like very similar to.
Yeah, but he doesn't come.
Very
from,
similar to Dwayne Haskins for me. Like, if this guy is just a fucking bust in 3 years, I'm like, eh. Or if he turns into a. He obviously has the upside where he got drafted. His
I
arm
think
potentially
he
be
could
a top
be
10
a
quarterback.
Top 10 quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. And again, that one's that. I guess that would surprise me. It wouldn't shock me.
I
yeah.
can't imagine the media matters too much to him. Coming from USC, you're already dealing with that kind of
and
scrutiny
you know what?
Here in Los Angeles.
He's probably yeah, the biggest fan of Daniel Jones because Daniel Jones took a lot of media off of
he's
the
a
Jets.
Redondo Beach kid. He's just, you know, I don't know. I'm not
look,
sold on
he
him.
Puts his mouth on things and he gets mono. Like, we know this. This
yes.
is he's not a bright guy, at least so far. He hasn't made smart decisions. You know, but in any event, I do still think he's a starter in this league. He's
yeah.
still showing a lot of
sure.
promise. And you get a little bit more, some more weapons around him.
He's got 2 years to figure it out.
That offensive line, for as good of players as they have on that line, was terrible
last
year.
It's a badly
year.
Built team. It's a badly built team,
he's
and
not,
as Drew said, it's a badly coached team.
He's
and
not
I,
going anywhere for 2 years. He's
exactly.
got 2 years to figure out.
In my opinion. I think he has the chance to be a playoff quarterback in the AFC East once Tom Brady calls its quits. And I don't know, man. I still think – you know why I have him as high as I do? I think it's because I still remember the Rose Bowl that he played in. And he just made every throw under the sun with the setting Pasadena sunset. And it just looked so fucking perfect. I was like, that kid's the best quarterback I've ever seen. So I think I'm still holding out hope for Sam Darnold from that one game. And that's how most drafts work. Number 22. Dangles, we need to apologize for last year's mistake. Number 22 comes in. He also started all 16 games this season, and it's Baker Mayfield. We did not differ a lot on where we placed Baker
Ooh,
Mayfield,
yeah.
but the fall from grace, Dangles, we had him 10th last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? Based on the last 8 games,
we put a lot of. I mean, yeah, we took his last 8 games and we put a lot of weight in that. We really apparently felt he was the future of the Browns, and he did not.
Can I talk about Baker Mayfield?
Season,
one
please.
Second.
Yes.
I was going to ask Dangles real quick before we kick it over to Drew. We all had him again around the same spot. Do you think do you think Baker Mayfield is closer in his career to the 10th best or the 22nd best? Because there's I know it's not a lot of difference in numerical value, but when you're top 10, you're an elite level guy. If you're 22, you're like, well, we can get someone better.
You know, all I've got is 2 years to work with, right? A good one and a bad one.
Yes.
I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think because it's backwards, right? He comes in as a halfway through the season as you know, filling in for I can't even remember who he came in for. It's because that's how little it matters.
Is it T-Mobile?
Oh, yeah, it was. It totally was Tyrod Taylor. So, he comes in. Good pull. Yeah, he comes in to fill in 8 games for the season for Tyrod Taylor, and he's a stud. He's an absolute stud, and we rank him 10th. And then he gets a whole offseason of practice. He gets to go to training camp as QB1 and take
and
all
Odell.
The reps.
With expectations.
And with Odell and Jarvis are guys who are played together. Like, their chemistry is already built in. We know what all the hype was for the Browns before. And then just 6 goes out there and just throws interception after interception. He does all the progressive ads. They lined him up for all the endorsements thinking he was going to have a great season.
Over and over again.
And he just flopped. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I want to say that was just a sophomore campaign.
Yes.
And that he is going to turn things around. He's got the arm. He's got the legs. He's got the smarts. He can make the NFL throws. We've seen all that stuff there. Maybe this was just the Freddie Kitchens year.
That's exactly, yeah. It shouldn't be called benefit of the doubt.
The Kitchens
it should be
effect.
Called the benefit of the Kitchens.
It's the Kitchens
Drew,
effect.
Drew, what do you have to say about Baker?
Share for the sharp, hot take here. sell all Baker Mayfield stock.
Oh, no.
Sell it.
Oh, no.
Dangles, I literally disagree. I mean, he has the arm, he has the legs, he has the smarts. I don't think he has any of those, honestly.
Wow.
Because here's the thing. He's not accurate. He's not athletic enough to run in this league. And that was my thing watching him last year while handicapping these games. He would try to get outside the pocket like he could in the Big 12 against defenses that weren't existent. I think his numbers in college were inflated by terrible Big 12 defenses. I think he's not been developed in coaching. And who did the Browns get? Thank you. We don't even know who the fucking coach is.
Oh, Joe Judge. Right?
Yeah, Joe Judge.
No, they're not head coach.
They're
head coach.
They don't have a coach yet, do
they? Oh, yeah, they do. They hired the Minnesota Vikings offensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, who had a really good performance against the
49ers. I don't even know what his name is.
No one does. I couldn't tell you his name. The guy does all these commercials. He obviously is a good businessman making all this money. I'm out on him. I'm out. Now, if he comes back with some vengeance year, that's fine. But even him chirping to fans in the tunnels, why don't you come down here and say that yourself? He just can't do that. He doesn't get it.
Yeah.
He doesn't get it. So he is the lowest. I have Allen ahead of him. I have Darnold ahead of him. I have Drew Lock ahead of him. And I'm selling Baker stock. I've watched enough of him to make that's my position. I'm not wavering it no matter what offseason. And Dangles, to your point, yeah, the second 8 games of his rookie year, sure. He put up some numbers. Their season was already lost.
Yep.
He's playing with house money. He gets part of your job as a quarterback and your leadership is to manage egos, is to make your playmakers happy.
Yeah, you're the end all be all.
Odell is sauced at the national championship game. God knows his mental state.
God.
Landry. You know, you got Kareem Hunt. Like he's about the worst player, the worst quarterback to lead that team. That's why I use the Bridgewater analogy.
Yeah.
So Schaefer the Sharp, selling Baker stock. I'm selling it.
Now let's talk about Joe Burrow. Because this guy's going to get drafted first overall. He's going to go to Cincinnati. He's going to be a Bengal. I think this spot right here, 22nd, is the spot we're going to be ranking him next year unless he exceeds expectations because he's coming in as the best thing since sliced bread. The thing that scares me about Joe Burrow is exactly what you said about Baker, that mindset of me against the world. And you kind of have to have that to be an elite-level player in any sport. But at the same time, if you don't have that output the right way, you're going to be yelling at fans on the sidelines and get yourself into trouble off the field. Joe Burrow, in my opinion, has that mindset to him. Drew, do you think Joe Burrow has a chance to let his personality get in the way of him being great?
The difference between Joe Burrow and Baker Mayfield to me is, one, Burrow played against SEC defenses for 2 years.
Yeah.
He's 3 inches taller. He comes from a coach's he's a coach's son.
Yep.
He was born with a football. Now, Baker was never a high-level recruit in high school. Burrow was, and obviously he had one of the best years in college football history. Now, he's not some prodigy, right?
Yeah.
He's not some, like, can't miss for 6 years, people know about him. But I think his maturity, given the fact that they're almost the same age, Burrow's 23 years old.
Yep.
It's an open-ended question. Of course, his personality has a chance to get in the way, and we've already heard about, like, he knows he has leverage, blah, blah, blah. If I was Joe Burrow, I wouldn't be fucking around with the number one overall pick.
No.
I would take it, homegrown kid, just do what you do.
Yeah.
But like I said, I think he's smart enough to know that, you know, people can, coaches can ruin quarterbacks.
They definitely can.
But, yeah, if I'm starting a team tomorrow and you give me Joe Burrow or Baker Mayfield, I'm taking Joe Burrow.
Let's move on to the biggest question mark on this list. Number 21 overall. He's a guy who has not played a lot, but he's a guy who's been ranked very, very high on this list before. The first time we made this list, he was 11th overall starting all 16 games. Then flew up to 8th starting all 16 games. 2018, he had an injury-plagued season, fell to 18th. He is 21st right now, barely playing at all last year, and that's Cam Newton. Cam Cam Newton. I had him 20th individually, and I thought I was going to be raked across the coals for having him too high.
I did too. I had him 24th, and I'm thinking to myself, because there are certain guys who I'm putting on here. I'm in my head as I'm making this list. I'm going, I'm going to have to go to bat for this guy when we get to the pod.
That's what I thought.
Cam was one of those guys at 24 for me.
Drew had him all the way up at 17,
and I had three stars on three quarterbacks on my list. This is my first star.
What do you mean by star?
How do we know anything about him?
Exactly.
How do we know? Like, I don't even think it's worth talking about.
All we
about.
Have is a past.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth talking about. Obviously, he was MVP less than 5 years ago.
Yeah, 15-1.
But it's been proven when he can't use his legs as a weapon, he's a below-average quarterback. So if that part of his game is gone moving forward, you kind of have to reevaluate him. Now, if he comes back healthy, once again, we talk about situations, schemes, coaching. I just don't think we can really talk about him. I kind of put him here as like a, eh?
Exactly.
Like, because physically,
thing, though,
he's not even that old.
That's the big if, though, is like, if you're Carolina right now and you're trying to build for the future, whether you're trying to blow it up or not, what do you do with Cam Newton? Because
you cut him loose and say, good luck.
Do you really?
Absolutely, Tony. There's no choice.
He, again, is a former MVP. And
you're
going
to
like
pay him $10 million a year to do what? To be on a 6-1 team?
He could be an asset.
He
could
not
be an unbelievable asset. You know what I mean? Because if he goes away and goes to a team and suddenly is Cam Newton again, you're like, how did we ever let him go?
When you're rebuilding a team, you can't dictate 10 to 15% of your salary cap towards a quarterback when you have no expectations of winning 8 games. You can't do it.
Well, the other thing with Cam, I think, and you know, we won't obviously don't talk a lot about this because it's not a sexy thing to talk about, but Cam loves Charlotte. Cam loves it.
He has made an imprint there.
He is he's the mayor of that town. Yeah. Like, he's a guy who, you know, he's never going to pay for a drink at a bar. His meal's going to be cut. Even if he'll pay for his meals, going to be, you know, people. Somebody will try to buy his dinners for him or something like that. This is a guy, you know, he's like Jason Veritek in Boston. He'll never buy another drink for himself anywhere. But I don't think Cam would. I mean, I think it's going to be hard for that franchise to, if they want to shoo him out the door, cut him loose, and say good luck, as you suggest, that while that might be the best move for him, I think it's going to be tough for them to do that. I think Cam wants to stick around.
I don't, because they have a billionaire new owner who cares about long gains, not short term.
Yeah.
I think he's been successful in his life because he doesn't make decisions based on emotion or impulse. He knows it's the best decision for the organization. I think it's going to be a clean cut. I'm curious where he lands. I think the Bears is obviously an option.
Yeah.
I'm even thinking like a team like even the Colts we talked about. You know, you just don't know. But this is the biggest. Again, I have three question marks. We'll get to them as I come. But this is just a huge question mark.
Aaron Rodgers, Joe Montana, Randall Cunningham, Peyton Manning, and Cam Newton. Those are the only 5 quarterbacks in the history of the league to go 15-1 and win an MVP. Just saying.
Does he and all those quarterbacks have Super Bowls besides Cam?
Correct.
Yeah.
Number 20, I cannot believe he got this high. I had him ranked 26th. You guys had him up to 16th. He was 36th last year, flew up to 20, had a hell of a postseason run. Ryan Tannehill is the 20th ranked quarterback in the league.
Oh, come on. You had him where?
26.
Oh, my God, Tony.
Listen,
Tony.
Don't let one year.
He's a top 20 quarterback.
Don't let 1 year shape the way you think about a guy.
Who was his coach in Miami?
Adam Gase.
What has Adam Gase done to do anything positive for quarterbacks?
You're not finding any fault on that argument.
Okay.
But
he single-handedly, obviously with King Henry, he took that Titans team to a deep run in the AFC playoffs by using his arm,
mm-hmm.
by using his legs,
mm-hmm.
by using his leadership.
Mm-hmm.
He had an awesome year, and he's going to get paid a lot of money, rightfully so.
He is
a future quarterback in this. He's a future star in this league, and he's getting a 3-year contract.
He's definitely going to get paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
And this is why we have to have this conversation now, because someone's going to pay him the Nick Foles contract. He's going to get that money.
I think he might get a Kirk Cousins contract.
But does he deserve it? And are you making a right decision by getting that? To me, you're not. Because he had a great year. You cannot deny how great this year was, but we've seen his career at work. And even in this year, when you get to the top 20, you need to have guys that are not Jacoby Brissett that you can win. You can win with him, but not because of him. You cannot ever win a football game because of Ryan Tannehill. You can't do it. And he is not going to be the guy that goes, you know what, they got Ryan Tannehill. They're never going to worry about him. He can make the correct play. He's a very intelligent player. He deserves to be a starter. He is nowhere close to a top 20 quarterback, yet that's where he lands on this list. Dangles, do you got anything to say about Big Man Rye?
No, I mean, I think I don't know that I don't know that he's going to get.
Where do you have him, Dangles?
I had him at 16.
You both had him at 16th.
Dude, he's a top 20 quarterback, Tony.
I had him at 16th.
In my mind, he's not.
He played that way down the stretch for me, and I don't think there's any reason to think he's going to stop. I'd rather have Jacoby Brissett over him.
How do you not acknowledge Adam Gase and his development of him?
I mean, look, I think Adam Gase sucks. Every single quarterback in some way is a product, and what they do on the field is a product of the system that they're in. And I think when you evaluate where these quarterbacks are on your list, you have to take a look at the system that they're in and where they're playing and how the players around, because football is a team sport.
Yeah.
There's 10 other guys besides the quarterback position who are on the field who are doing things to help facilitate the quarterback's jobs, make it easier for him to complete a pass or hand the ball off or whatever, you know, the play calls for. Ryan Tannehill fit perfectly into that puzzle.
Yeah.
And sure, he didn't have to throw for a ton of yards. He could get away with throwing for 88 yards and, like, you know, two or three touchdowns.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to have prolific numbers. But the way that run and pass balance that Arthur Smith got going in Tennessee worked perfectly. And if they hang on to him and continue to do that, I see no reason to believe why he won't be a top 20 quarterback next year.
He was A.J. Brown, Jonnu Smith, King Henry.
They played
again,
great.
The situation around him, I think, is perfect. And I think, again, I'm not saying he's an MVP candidate. Pro
he's
Bowl.
Not a world beater for
he's,
sure.
He's a top 20 quarterback.
It's going to be interesting.
If Nick Foles can win a Super Bowl, Ryan Tannehill can win a Super Bowl.
Agreed.
Come on.
So I don't even think that's – I do not agree with
You're
that
You're only saying that because
all.
Foles is already a Super Bowl champion. If I had said who's going to be first to win a Super Bowl, Nick Foles or Ryan Tannehill, before Foles won the Super Bowl, who would you have said?
I mean, again, I've been a fan of Nick Foles for a long time. I've been a fan of Nick Foles for a long time. Ryan Tannehill, to me, does not have the caliber that Nick Foles has. But let's go to a guy who does have the caliber. And he's also the guy, so far, who is the only one on this list that is already a free agent. Phil Rivers comes in at 19th, and I think it's a disservice to old man Phil.
I had him a little higher.
Phil Rivers started all 16 games last year. But, guys, let me tell you this. We've done this this list for 4 years. Only three guys have started all 64 games. And Phil Rivers is one of them. So if you want to start
that's
talking about
something.
how that's, you know, he's an old man. He doesn't have a lot left in the tank. He has not
an
missed a game in
4 years. An 18-year-old
golden
retriever takes a shit every morning.
Phil Rivers, Daniels and I had him 13th and 14th respectively. Drew had him as low as 26 overall. It's the reason why Phil is 19th in our hearts.
Ouchies.
You guys are
Drew.
Nuts.
Jeez.
You guys are nuts.
So you
Brutal.
Think.
Brutal.
This is you
26?
Guys.
26?
Listen. I love being part of Left Coast Gamblers, but when this podcast started, it was like the transplants from L.A., Battle of Two Cities, and you guys have a little hard-on for Phil Rivers.
I will say I've watched a lot more of him than a lot of other people.
Because I've noticed you guys both kind of like, well, like Phil Rivers, he's pretty, you know, and maybe our boy Jared
he's
Goff
Phil
who we're talking
Rivers.
To. Yeah, he's done. He's done.
He's nowhere near done.
He is done. He's shot putting the ball. He has never not shot the ball.
That's his
He's releasing
motion.
It from the hip at this point.
That's his throwing motion.
He's releasing it from
if
his hip.
You think that's a problem? You haven't watched
okay,
him over his
okay,
career.
Okay, well then answer me this. Why is no one banging on his door to sign him right now?
Oh, we don't know that.
Because he doesn't want to leave San Diego.
He's gone.
But that's what I'm telling you.
You mean
he
L.A.?
Wants,
you mean L.A.?
Whatever. Yeah. What, yeah. Yeah. Wherever the hell we are. No, he still lives in San Diego.
No,
he commutes every day.
That's right. He does.
He commutes.
He does. No, listen.
He loves it here.
But he's obviously the Chargers have moved
His
on.
His family's
yes,
here.
They've
got,
they've,
yeah, they've got 84
on.
Kids in the right, public school yeah, system yeah. here. They can't just uproot 84 children from the, you know,
the only
the
thing
LA
he's ever pulled out of his contract negotiations. But listen, that guy, if that guy's on my, I think he's got this year's potential to be last year's Joe Flacco. Anyone that brings
really?
Him in, absolutely. Anyone that brings him in, like, oh my God, we got Phil Rivers. I mean, he is going to be this year's Joe Flacco.
Wow.
Schaefer the Sharp, back up the Brinks truck. Mark my words, he is.
Flacco's never the gunslinger that Rivers is.
I think it's the. I get what he's saying, though, but
I
think
too,
it's.
I
think
too,
it's
but,
the opposite.
Yeah.
I mean, I really think.
Any team that signs him is a mistake.
Oh, man.
For
see,
more than, like. And what's his long term game here? Like, against him for a year for like $20 million? Like,
he's going for a Super Bowl. He's going for a ring.
He
he's
wants
trying
to, win.
To get a ring.
He
in my
win.
Opinion.
I get it. I understand. I get. But what team is in a position to pay him a lot of money for 1 to 2 years? Name one team.
I don't know, man, but you're going to look at it. Chicago, someone like
that.
Or even.
It's always the Bears.
Or even fucking Tennessee. Like, I'm telling
you. Oh, they're not,
no. I would rather have Phil Rivers 10 times out of 10 than Ryan Tannehill if I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. I think Phil Rivers still has a lot left in the tank. Last year, he was 7th overall, 10th and 12th the year before that. So it's not like he's played poorly. He's played an elite level. Yes, last year there was a drop-off. San Diego stunk. Anthony Lynn stinks. I think Rivers still has a lot left in the tank. He's the ugliest quarterback.
He's still threw for the fourth most yards in the NFL.
He is the ugliest form. He is the ugliest everything. He's a gunslinger to his heart. This is also Tony Cavallo, childhood, loves Brett Favre and loves guys that just say, fuck it, let's throw it deep. Phil Rivers is one of those guys. I'd love to have Phil on my team if I'm trying to. If all I have left is to answer is the quarterback question and Phil's out there, I'm throwing all my money at Phil for a one-year run. Number 18, he tied Phil Rivers, but because Dangles had him as the 11th, ranked quarterback, Derek Carr comes in at 18th. Dangles, what makes Derek Carr one step away from elite?
He's stud. He's a stud, man. I think he does have that elite level talent. We've seen. I feel
the
like
11th?
I feel like I'm doing this every year. Like I don't want to throw back to that one. I mean, he was a game away from like being the MVP.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
Like this guy is not too far removed from that. We've seen that he has the ability to lead a team.
Where do you have him, Tony?
I had Derek Carr as the 23rd overall
quarterback. And you have him at 11th, Dangles?
Yes. Yeah. Drew had him at 19th. He ends up at 18th.
I'm feeling a bit generous towards Derek Carr
the day I made this list.
But I really do like Derek Carr. He is a leader of men, and he's a force in that locker room. He's a guy you want to play. You know, you want to play for. You want to play with. You want to play behind if you have to.
What has he ever won?
He had one year where he almost had an MVP, guaranteed.
And he broke his ankle.
Yeah,
right?
I think he would have won.
McGloin started against the Texans.
Yes. And then Connor Cook started in the playoff game.
That's
and
right.
they ended
That's
up
right.
losing. He was like a game away. He would have won MVP if he had stayed healthy through the end of that season.
The one thing defending Derek Carr in my eyes last year is he had an okay year. They did not win a lot of games. They were feisty. He also had one of the worst wide receiving cores in the history of mankind. Darren Waller was great at the tight end position, but his wide receivers were dead.
That was it.
I like Renfro moving forward.
I think Derek Carr,
he's going to be a career slot guy. You know
sure,
what I mean?
Totally.
He's going to be like a Wes Welker
type.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, if Wes Welker.
If he turns into Wes Welker, that's big. Yeah. You know?
I think Danny Amendola.
I think Derek Carr has the chance to be the 11th best quarterback in the league, but he is not there yet, in my opinion.
That's
he
fair.
Comes in at 18th
I feel
overall.
I feel good with him top 20, but I think that's kind of his ceiling.
This guy's got a lot of question marks. He's been on this ranking all 4 years for us. He's
at the same spot?
Close. He was 15th the first time, fell to 25th and 30th the last 2 years.
I know who it is.
This year, we all ranked him around the same two, and this is another guy where I made these rankings. I said, I'm going to have to defend this guy, and I had him lower than you two. Jameis Winston ends our podcast today as the 17th ranked quarterback in the NFL.
So. No, I don't think, again, you have to give some credit to what he did do, which was be the only quarterback to throw for over 5,000 yards and to throw for 30 touchdowns. You know, a 33-30 line would not have looked that crazy on a Brett Favre stat line when in his prime, would it?
I mean,
that's the kind of thing he does. And Jameis Winston, unfortunately, hasn't been good enough year over year over year to be able to get away with throwing as many interceptions as he throws touchdowns. But he, for whatever reason, they've figured out what works in the deep passing game in Tampa Bay. They've got, I mean, it helps to have two monster receivers who could also run really fast in Mike Evans at 6'5" and Chris Godwin at 6'3". So that helps. But they've had no running game. They've had to rely almost exclusively. Like, you're playing the Buccaneers. You know what they're doing. They're going to run on first down a couple of times, but they're throwing the ball. And he's still leading the league in passing and touchdowns. I think you got to give him some credit for that.
This isn't a hot take. I'm not trying to be funny. You alerted us this news, Tony. To our group text. The fact that this dude just had LASIK eye correction surgery is fucking irresponsible. It truly is. And I can speak from experience because you know why? November 10 years ago, I had LASIK surgery. And let me tell you something. It changes your life. And I'm not being dramatic.
Yeah.
I played sports my entire life after I was done playing competitively because you're not supposed to have it until you're 24 years old.
Yes.
So when I played sports, when I had contacts, I was sensitive to sweat. I was sensitive to light. If basketball at the gyms, I'd have halo effects, bad lights in baseball, just kind of fuzzy. You literally wake up and it's like Jesus, you know, spit in the mud and rubbed it on your eyes. I mean, it is a new life.
Yeah.
It's the best investment I ever made to this day.
Yeah.
The fact that we saw him out there kind of squinting at the playbook, this and that.
You'd see it often.
I really believe this. I really, really believe this, that this surgery could make him a top 10 quarterback. I'm not kidding. Decision-making all aside, you got to be clear with your eyes of anything, of any position in the quarterback.
I can't
understate this enough. That is a huge deal. And the fact that he waited, I'm not sure of his age now that I think of it, because I know you're supposed to mature until you're 24 years old. But at the same time, like, it's just insane that you have these resources, this money, this doctors, and you decide, oh, I guess I'll do it now.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, how many times last year did he make a throw and we were like, what did he see there? Like, well, how did he not
what
see
if he
that
caught,
cornerback?
What if
maybe
he,
now
what,
we know why.
What if he actually
what,
didn't
what,
see them?
What if he's Patrick Mahomes next year?
I mean,
it'd be unbelievable.
He's got the talent. He's got the arm.
He's well, number
no
one
one's
overall pick.
No one's expecting him to be, and I think that works in his favor, right? No one's expecting
not
him to be.
Not even in his own organization. They don't know if he's the future in Tampa.
Well, they picked up his option, so he is kind of like a one-year deal.
It's the Mitch
whatever.
Trubisky thing,
right.
Yeah.
Well, no, because he's ahead of Trubisky. Because like you have to declare your player option before the season
yes.
starts.
Yes.
So they did that with Jameis. But I just think this is like one of the most like low key stories of the NFL offseason.
Is the LASIKs?
100% because I've experienced it.
Yeah.
Me and our friend of the show, Brett Green, we got done together, you know, like in Arizona 10 years ago, and it's a crazy experience.
Yeah.
You know, they literally put a laser in your eye, and you can smell it burning, and it's crazy, and then you like go to bed for 2 days and you wake up and it's like you're a new person. It's insane.
Jameis is back, baby, and he ends this podcast today. The bottom tier starters at 17th overall did start all 16 games. Good for Jameis. Next podcast is the big one, boys. Next podcast, the final 16, the best 16 quarterbacks in the league, as told to you by the Left Coast Gamblers. That is coming up next week, and I'm excited for it. It's been a long run. Happy to be here. Tony Cavallo, Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer, Crookston. That's it for the Left Coast Quarterback Rankings, Episode 3. See you next week.
Sports stars. They're like superheroes.
But they're actually real.
Which is why we've made a podcast about them. You see,
they've all got a story.
But too many of these stories were cut short.
Kobe Bryant.
Payne Stewart.
Flo Jo.
Phil Hughes.
Justin Fashanu.
We're writing episodes about all of them.
And sadly, many more.
Death of a Sports Star. A new series from Crowd Network.